You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to True Pull Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 8th of June, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, on a glorious summer's evening. And I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Sam. I'm living in a Dacronian country.
Yeah. I'm falling over my words here and getting a bit tongue-tied there in the intro. But that's not as bad as what's been happening to you. I mean, I just tried to get onto your channel there and it's telling me you've only got two videos on there. Now, that's rather strange.
Well, that's two more than I thought it'd let me.
Well, that's what it is, isn't it? I mean, if you put your channel into HookTube, it says there's hundreds on there. But if you're looking at it on YouTube from Britain, it says there's only two. And I hear you've been having some issues actually trying to sign in as well.
Yeah, can't sign in, can't upload, can't comment.
So you're a British film producer. You've got a channel on YouTube, and the rest of the world can see your films, but you can't.
Well, not the rest of the world. I think I'm banned also in 23 other countries, aren't I? I think so. Yeah.
European
other
Union.
Other than that, you're right.
Banned in the EU. Well, what can we say about that? Hopefully, try and find some way of signing in. But if you don't, there are some other venues available, I guess. BitChute or PewTube.
Well, I'm partway through part 14, so if I can't get that onto YouTube, I'll probably put it up on BitChute and people can maybe download it and stick it on YouTube, as some have been copying some of the videos anyway during that time.
Well, it might be an idea. I know you've got your own websites anyway. I mean, you might know people. I know people that might be able to set you up with your own platform, so that you could upload your own videos to your own websites, and then other people could upload it to YouTube, and then you wouldn't be running that risk.
Yeah, that's possible as well. Yeah. I mean, what comes into play then, though, is if they bring this 15-year prison sentence for going on a extreme right website, which could easily include The Greatest Story Never Told.
Well, it could and it couldn't, because if it's your own personal website, that's your own personal views. Alison Chablow's been prosecuted for causing gross offence, but that is because her videos were put on YouTube. She's now got a blog under her own name, not under the WordPress name. It's under Alison Chablow, and apparently she's allowed to upload her grossly offensive content to that because it's under her name. It's not on YouTube.
Weird is that?
So, you know, if it's under the name of The Greatest Story Never Told, and it's not under the name of YouTube, then maybe it gets around the law, because people are deliberately searching for The Greatest Story Never Told. They're deliberately searching for your video. People that are not looking for it are not likely to come across it by surprise.
Excellent.
Which I think,
I
think that was the argument that was put to Alison Chablow, which is why she's managed to get around it by uploading them to her blog. So, you know, that's another alternative.
Interesting days ahead.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, your documentaries are made up from material that is already available and quite legal elsewhere. So,
even on YouTube at the moment, you can find that documentary.
So what is it? It's just that you're not allowed to do it. The BBC are allowed to put this stuff up there, because I'm sure you must have had some sections from even BBC material over the years. It's all mainstream material, isn't it, that you've used?
Well, it's all in the public domain, It's mainly all from YouTube, to be honest.
Well, you know, there are ways to get around it, and I'm sure you will. As I say, I know somebody who would be quite happy to help you that knows how to set up these platforms so that you could have your own video platform to put on your site. So at least you could embed your videos on there and know that they're not going to go anywhere else. You might already have that. Are you using YouTube on your sites, or have you got your own platform?
Although people on the website are looking into just hosting it from there.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing I was thinking of. Well, maybe we can talk about it off air. It's just sad to see that you know that you're not allowed to look at your own content.
Can I just say, all this has been done before. It's the Soviet Union was a blueprint to how to take down a Christian nation, and I'm afraid I think the more people are awake, then the harder the hammer comes down. And just look at the Soviet Union, and you'll see what they're capable of.
Oh yeah, they're using a hammer to crack a nut, and now they're going after people like Tommy Robinson and journalists that are coming into Britain. I mean, I think they're really cutting their own throat, as it were, by doing that, because it's just waking everybody up to what's going on, and nobody likes it. Nobody likes the censorship. I mean, there was even a prison guard the other day that was speaking up for Tommy Robinson. And you've got demonstrations going off. This is really drawing attention to it. I don't like the fact that he's in prison, but the fact that he has been put in prison is drawn masses of attention to what is going on, and the public are not happy. I haven't seen any comments anywhere on any mainstream comment sites that are saying, oh, yes, this is great, we need more censorship. They are all pointing out, you know, that it's the left doing this.
Yeah. Well, can I just quickly say that I tuned into a radio station on YouTube, and this woman came on, and it was run by, I think, BBC Asia, and obviously an Asian disc jockey. And the woman was saying, look, these Muslims, they come to this country, they have to abide by the English rules. And she went on, you know, for a couple of minutes saying what she felt was right. This lady doesn't know what the truth of the matter is. At the end of the day, they're handing this country over to the Muslims.
They are. That is exactly what is going on. Anyway, tonight we've got a bit of a continuation on the theme that we were discussing last week when we were going through the Third Reich PDF, which is showing the links between the Third Reich and the Holy Roman Empire, and basically positing this theory that that's what Hitler was doing. He was resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire, and he would have been the emperor. And tonight we're going to look at the links between the Nuremberg laws and the laws of the church, because they say, oh, these terrible Nuremberg laws against the Jews and putting the Jews in ghettos and yellow stars and banning them from marrying white people. Oh, it's so terrible. Well, these were all based on laws from the church. That's where the idea came from. Yeah.
Yeah. They were done for a reason.
And what we're mainly going to be looking at is this papal bull, which is really, really good, from the 15th century. But before we get to that, we can have a quick look at some of these other laws that came about through the church. And first, we had the laws of Constantine the Great, which were in the 4th century. And Judaism was denied the opportunity of remaining a missionary religion. And it was banned from making proselytes. And this is what a lot of people don't realize, that Judaism originally, they were trying to convert lots of people to becoming Jews. That's why I was saying Judea in the time of Jesus was multicultural, because the Jews were trying to proselyte to people. And these weren't people that were Israelites. It was just anybody that wanted to become a Jew could just get circumcised. And Constantine banned them from proselytizing. And then in 337, we had the laws of Constantius, and they forbade intermarriage between Jewish men and Christian women. So it's in the 4th century, the church banned marriage between Jews and Christians. And in a generation later, in 388, all marriages between Jews and Christians were forbidden. And Constantius also did away with the right of Jews to possess slaves. And that's one that Hitler brought back in, you know, this banning intermarriage. Right. Banning intermarriage. And the third one we've got is the law of Theodosius II from 408 to 410, and that prohibited Jews from holding any advantageous office of honour within the Roman state. They were compelled, however, to assume those public offices which entailed huge financial losses and almost certain ruin, which I think is very funny. So they're forced to run departments that were at a loss. Yeah, see if they can do something with that. And then the final one that we've got, well, not the second to last one, it is a Latin law of Justinian in 527, and that banned Jews from bearing witness in court against Christians. So a Christian's word was to be taken over a Jew, basically. Jews could not be witnesses.
These are pretty strong laws, these.
Yeah. Yeah, very good laws, I would say. That's
well, they're there for a reason. I don't think they just made them up.
Well, yeah, that's it. This was a reaction to Jews Jewing. That's what it was. Exactly. It wasn't, oh, well, we just decided to pick on the Jews. And this is Christians. Christians that don't want to pick on anyone. You know, the pagans insult Christians today and say, oh, it's really wimpy. And yet they made all these laws against the Jews. So it's not that wimpy. They stood up for their people. And then finally, we've got the 14th canon of the Third Council in Toledo, 589 AD. This is in Spain. And that forbade Jews to have Christian wives or concubines or slaves. And it ordered any children of such unions to be baptized. And it disqualified Jews from any office in which they might have to punish Christians. And Christian slaves whom they had circumcised or forced to share in their rights were all freed. So that was in 589. And then we can jump forward 1,000 years to July the 14th, 1555, and we have Pope Paul IV who issued his bull Cum Nimis Absurdum, which subjected the Jews under his dominion to a long list of restrictions and humiliations in order to protect Christians, most notably the requirement of the Jews of Rome to live within a closed area. And this became the Rome Ghetto, the mandatory home of the city's Jews until its abolishment in 1870. And Pope Paul IV, 1476 to 1559, was an unusually pious and honourable pontiff. He had been the leading figure in the establishment of the Roman Inquisition in 1542, the papal bull that created the Inquisition, and he began that by saying, "Even if my own father were a heretic, I would gather the wood to burn him." And he oversaw the burning of the Talmud in Rome in 1553. And less than 2 months after his ascent to the papacy, on May the 23rd, 1555, he issued Cum Nimis Absurdum, which means literally, because it is completely absurd. And after those opening words, the proclamation continues, because it is completely absurd and inappropriate to be in a situation where Christian piety allows the Jews, whose guilt is all of their own doing and has condemned them to eternal slavery, access to our society and even to live among us. So he's basically, at the beginning of this bull, he's saying that the Jews are taking advantage of the Christians' good nature and it is absurd to allow them to do that. So that's what these laws were about. And they basically introduced a series of religious and economic restrictions on Jews throughout Europe. And what we're going to show is that this is what Hitler was bringing back, these laws. And the first one, and we'll have a look at each one. We've got 15 of them because they're all really good. The first one says, desiring firstly, as much as we can, with the help of God, to beneficially provide by this our decree that will be forever in force. So this is an eternal law. It's always to be in force. We ordain that for the rest of time, in this city, as well as in other states, territories, and domains of the Church of Rome itself, all Jews are to live in only one quarter, to which there is only one entrance, and from which there is but one exit. And if there is not that capacity in one such quarter, then in two or three or however many may be enough. In any case, they should reside entirely side by side in designated streets and be thoroughly separate from the residences of Christians. This is to be enforced by our authority in the city and by that of our representatives in other states, lands and domains noted above. Now, this is really sensible, just keeping them separate. You know, this is the way, if you have to have somebody and other people living among you, they have to be kept entirely separate from you. Do you want to, do you want to say something about this before I talk a little bit about the Roman Ghetto, Dennis?
Well, I just want to touch on this infinite law. This is for all time, like I mentioned. So was the Freemasonry law, by the way. That was meant to be for all time, but it's been overridden. A lot of Christians are Freemasons now. And can I just say, while we take all this into account, and the information that I got last week and I found right, on the back of the dollar, the pyramid represents, believe it or not, the total destruction of the Catholic Church.
How does that fit in with the destruction of the church?
Well, I'd have to go through the whole thing to see it. But that is part of that emblem.
And we're going to go into that next week, are we?
Yeah. Today, the Catholic Church doesn't exist. That is not the Catholic Church.
Well, the Catholic Church today is the complete opposite of this, isn't it?
Exactly.
When you think of these laws. Well, let's have a bit about the Roman ghetto. And I actually took this from a Jewish site and altered it slightly. The Roman ghetto was established on the banks of the Tiber River, one of the least desirable sections of the city, if only because of its tendency to flood when the river's waters rose. The Jews, who had their own dialect called Guidio Romanesco, had to finance its construction, which was designed by architect Giovanni Sallustio Peruzzi. Initially, it could be entered or departed by only two gates, although by the time the walls were demolished in the 19th century, that number had increased to 8. Since the area of the ghetto could not expand, the only way to add a living space was to build up to as high as 7 stories. This helped to block the sun, making the ghetto a dark space. Well, we're all having to live like we live in the ghetto now, thanks to the Jews. We're all in the city.
Yeah,
and living in these high-rise, horrible blocks of flats that people have got to live in.
East German communists, I call them, flats.
Yeah, and you've got the Jews complaining about this here, and that was only 7 stories high. Look at the way it is today.
So I live in one of them towers.
And this wasn't...
the way it's burning.
Yeah. And this wasn't actually as bad as the Jews make out, as Christian landlords could not evict their Jewish tenants, and nor could they raise the rents. So imagine the landlords today being told, well, you can't evict your tenants, and you can't actually raise your rents. So it wasn't really as bad as the Jews made out. But they were also required to go through an annual ritual by which they requested permission to reside in the ghetto, a privilege for which they also had to pay a tax. And before that procedure was instituted, the Jews had to participate as performers in an annual carnival of humiliation, it says here. And I'd find out what went on in the carnival of humiliation. I suppose that was quite funny. Well, secondly, it says, furthermore, in each and every state, territory and domain in which they are living, they will have only one synagogue in its customary location, and they will construct no other new ones, nor can they own buildings. Furthermore, all of their synagogues, besides the one allowed, are to be destroyed and demolished, and the properties which they currently own, they must sell to Christians within a period of time to be determined by the magistrates themselves. Now, did Hitler go as far as destroying the synagogues? I thought he let them keep their synagogues,
I think he did, I think he stopped them on Kristallnacht from being destroyed because he was in talks about this blockade, what they'd put on Germany.
Yeah, it seems to me Hitler didn't go quite as far as the Catholic Church's laws.
No, they knocked them down and just left them with one.
Yeah, this is what the Bolsheviks did to the churches, didn't they, in Russia?
Destroyed. Can I just add as well, in Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia are funding quite a lot of these mosques. There's a huge mosque going up in Barcelona as I speak, and they fund it. But you cannot build a Christian church, nor can you take a Bible. Well, you can take a Bible into Saudi Arabia, but you'll suffer if you get caught.
And they also say that once somewhere has had a mosque on it, the Muslims say, oh, that's forevermore, that's Islamic land. They're building one up in the Orkneys, right up in...
Yeah, they're building them all over the place, to be honest, now, aren't they?
Scotland.
Don't surprise me.
It's disgusting. That's the other thing as well, you know, the Saudis, they won't actually take any refugees. They won't take any refugees from Syria, but they will say, oh yeah, but we're quite happy to donate hundreds of thousands to build mosques in Europe for the ones you take. Because they know that that's a symbol of them taking over. That's what those mosques are.
Yeah. And these grooming gangs have gone back to 1988, I believe.
I think they probably go back further than that.
Probably that, yeah, probably.
Well, when you think about white slavery and the way that the Muslims just used to take white slaves, they had 1 million white slaves at one time. A lot of them were women.
Yeah.
It's always been a part of Islam, has been this, anyone that's not a Muslim can just be used as a sex slave, and that's all that these grooming gangs are doing.
That's in the teachings, isn't it?
Yeah, it says it in the Quran.
Yeah,
that they can do that. So it's just a modern version of the sex slavery that went on 500 years ago. And they don't actually have to sail here and grab people now. They just open up a kebab shop.
Yeah, I've learned Putin has banned the Quran, by the way.
Has he?
Yes.
Where's he banned it? Because I know they've got a mosque there, haven't they? They've got one mosque. But they called it the Cathedral Mosque to show that the church was in charge.
Yeah. But apparently he's been... They've had to put the Muslims under strict control because they were attacking the Christians, apparently. So he's banned the Quran.
I did like the way that they called the mosque the Cathedral Mosque, just to show that the church comes first in Russia. So you can have the mosque.
Exactly.
Yeah. It has to be called the Cathedral Mosque. Number three. Moreover, concerning the matter that Jews should be recognisable everywhere, to this end, men must wear a hat, women indeed some other evident sign, that is yellow in colour, that must not be concealed or covered by any means, and must be tightly affixed, sewn. And furthermore, they cannot be absolved or excused from the obligation to wear the hat or other emblem of this type to any extent whatever, and under any pretext whatsoever of their rank or prominence or of their ability to tolerate this adversity, either by a chamberlain of the church, clerics of an apostolic court, or their superiors, or by legates of the Holy See, or their immediate subordinates. So he's really saying here, look, nobody can excuse this. He's obviously seeing into the future, and he's thinking, well, these Jews, they'll try and get around the church, they'll try and get around the clerics to tell them that they don't have to wear their Jewish star, so I'm going to ban it right here and now, that nobody can absolve them from having to wear this signifier.
Identification, isn't it? Yeah.
It's needed because they look so much like us, don't they?
Well, they interbreed, don't they? That's the problem. Chinese we saw.
Yeah, well, unless they breed with Chinese or blacks. I mean, this was the problem. People couldn't really tell the difference. That people don't realise it's Jews that are talking to them on the television today. They just think, oh, it's another white person.
Exactly.
This was the reason for this. And, you know, they have...
And changed the name as well.
Yeah.
To O'Connell or something like that in Ireland. You never know they were Jew.
Well, that was the origin of this, and it wasn't Hitler's idea to put them in yellow stars. It was the church.
Yeah.
It was this Pope, what was it, Paul the Fourth?
And these weren't the only laws. There were other laws with Christianity as well. I mean, one for example where they stood the same was homosexuality. You know, there's others as well. I can't remember that. But, you know, this wasn't just, you know, there was quite a number of laws which they took on board.
No, I wasn't aware of the homosexual ones. I thought the church was just capital offence for sodomy, execution.
Was it? Oh, well, maybe they weren't as strict again then.
Well, maybe they relented, but that's the Old Testament punishment. I would have thought the church had the same. I know that.
We'll have to check on that one.
Yeah, I know that Himmler said that that's what would happen to anyone in the SS. They would be executed. But I think in members of the public, I think they were just sent to the camps. It was just banned. But obviously, if you were in a position of authority that was going to be looked up to, then, you know, you had to be very moral and you had to...
It's a bigger crime, especially for the SS if they're Teutonic Knights.
Yeah, they had to set a good example. Well, they were the modern-day Teutonic Knights. Number four.
Well, that's why they suffered most, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were so good.
Yeah.
Number four. Also, they may not have nurses or maids or any other Christian domestic or service by Christian women in wet nursing or feeding their children. And that's because these Jews would molest them. These Christian girls, if they had Christian girls working for them, you know, they would be constantly groping them. You know, this Me Too movement that we have today, I mean, that was set up for the Jews today. I mean, it was absolutely rife years ago. You know, you hear about these ones that behave in Hollywood with these girls. You imagine what these Jews were like with lots of money, and they had a Christian private, girl that was supposed to be feeding their children, wet nursing them. These Jews would be all over them. So that's why they weren't allowed to have nurses or maids. And the fact that this was put in there just shows you that this is what was going on. Groping and raping the white women.
Definitely. Number five,
they may not work or have work done on Sundays or on other public feast days declared by the church. I guess this is because if they had anyone working for them, they would make them work on a Sunday. And look at us today. We have to work on Sundays, don't we?
Well, it's strange this because it hit me when I was a kid like that. Italy started playing football on a Sunday. And it hit me because I always regarded Italy as a Catholic country and I thought it really strange. But obviously, it all falls under breaking up of these laws.
Well, they want to make as much money as they can all the time, but at the same time, they also want to desecrate our Christian holy day. So they've pushed to have shops open on Sundays. Once you've got shops open on Sundays, you can allow factories open on Sundays. And before you know it, everyone has to work 7 days a week. And now people have to work every day of the year. Whereas before, on a Sunday, you didn't used to hear anything. You didn't, you know, you could go outside and quiet.
Can I just add to that? It's quite true what you're saying, obviously. But I never believed that the fast food industry was Jewish because they want you to eat quick so you can get back to work.
Bound to be.
Yeah. It's not good for you anyway.
And these supermarkets. I mean, you used to have stall holders, didn't you? And what the Jews did, they took it all over and monopolised it.
Totally.
So you had a mall. You had your Walmart. Your Tesco's, which sold everything and undercut all the local sellers, so that.
Well, I think we'll come to a law further down, which covers this.
Well, yeah, I remember reading the National Socialist saying something about that, about supporting the local businesses, because it was at that time that this was starting to happen. Or it may have been Henry Ford. I mean, he wrote about it as well. The Jews were pushing the local sellers out of business and monopolising everything, and that's the origin of our supermarket.
Yeah, definitely. I covered that in coming in my back door. I said all the English shops all had yellow lines out the front and had to close down while Tesco's took over.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can't park outside of them. They used to say that the English were a nation of shopkeepers.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, you're right. No more.
No, it's all packy shopkeepers now, open 24 hours a day, hardly speaking English, just want to take your money.
Tesco's.
That's your choice between the two. Thank God I live in the country. One of the most pleasant things is going shopping and going and just seeing all white people going in all white shops. And, you know, it's
utopia.
Yeah. You know, you don't realise it until you've been in a multicultural city that doesn't have any white shopkeepers. It does make such a difference. Number six, nor may they incriminate Christians in any way or promulgate false or forged agreements. So that goes back to that one, where the Jews' word cannot be held to be worth more than the Christians. So that, you know, they can't make accusations against Christians for anything.
Yeah.
Because the chances are that they could be lying. And this
Which
shows,
they often do.
Well, yeah, this shows that that's what they were doing. This isn't, oh, we'll just pick on the Jews. They had to have done some serious crimes and told some serious lies.
Serious work to do this, yeah. Definitely.
For the church to issue this and say, this is for all time, this is for all church countries, Jews may not incriminate Christians in any way.
Yeah, so they obviously weren't for the French Revolution, it was still not.
Yeah. Number 7, and they may not presume in any way to play, eat, or fraternize with Christians. And that's because they knew that there was such a bad influence. Fraternizing.
Debauchery.
Yeah. That's it. That's a good word, that. Number 8, and they cannot use other than Latin or Italian words in short-term account books that they hold with Christians. And if they should use them, such records would not be binding on Christians in legal proceedings. So, and you look at the cheek of these Jews. They would write everything down in Yiddish so that the person they'd lent it to couldn't understand what was there, and then they'd be pointing at, you owe me that much. And a poor Christian would be saying, well, I don't owe you that much. And the Jew would be saying, yes, you do. It says it right there. Look, right there. And the Christian would say, well, I can't understand that. It doesn't matter. You can't understand it. You signed it. I say you owe it. That's what must have been going on.
Yeah, easily. I mean, some people just genuinely believe that the person is right who's accusing them.
Yeah, and, you know, like, white people, we tend to trust people.
That's Hitler said.
Yeah. And these Jews obviously took massive advantage of that. Massive advantage for this bull to have to be written.
Right. Yep.
Number nine. Moreover, these Jews are to be limited to the trade of rag picking or cincinariae, as it is said in the vernacular, and they cannot trade in grain, barley,
or
any other commodity essential to human welfare.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, I think there's two reasons for this. I mean, just first off, I looked up the word cincinariae, and I cannot find a definition for it anywhere. So maybe it just means the same thing as rag picking. But why they can't train in grain, barley, or any other commodity essential to human welfare? Two reasons, I think. Because people need that, because it is essential, and the Jews would whack the price up. If there was a scarcity of something that was needed, the Jews would whack the price up. And the Christian way is, if there is a scarcity of something, then it means everybody needs some, so you lower the price and you ration it out so that everyone can have some. And in fact, the church instituted what was called the just price. So if there were things that everybody needed and there was a scarcity, the church would subsidize it so that everybody could afford it. But the human rights that the Jew pushed for was the right of the individual to make as much profit as he can out of the community, which is the opposite of the way things used to be. And that did away with the just price, because then if you've got a scarcity, the Jews would whack the price up. And that's the way things are today. If there's less of something, you'll have to pay a higher price for it. And that's the Jewish way of looking at it. So that's obviously what they were doing. But also because...
The second one.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, well, I think you know the second one. But also because the second one, they'd be using it for alcohol. Grain and barley is whiskey and vodka and they would be making alcohol out of it and getting the farmers drunk and then giving the farmer a massive loan to pay for more alcohol. And then when the farmer couldn't pay it back, the Jew would take the farmland off him and the farm. And then the Jew would turn around and say, and now you can farm it for me. And the Jew would take all the money. So I think that's another side to it. What do you think it's? What are you thinking of there, Dennis?
Well, they eat different foods to us, and if they want to depopulate, they could have started quite easily because they control all the food now. And although it's just rumours, you know, to me, people are getting more obese and they're not living as long. Cancer is more rampant than it's ever been. And with them controlling the food and what goes in it is, I think, another reason.
Well, that could well be. I mean, we have got lots of fatties here. We know that there is lots of poison in the food. And look at the genetic modified food that they're making. And again, that it's...
But their kosher food is different, though.
Yeah.
So the separation is there.
So you're saying that they cannot be responsible. You're saying that they cannot allow the Jew to be responsible for anything, really. That
essential to human welfare, it says, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is, of course, everything.
Yeah, so it does. Yeah, 3 points that could be.
Yep.
They'll do whatever they can to harm us. Even the best of the Gentiles must be killed.
Well, they want the white race out, don't they? So that's one way of getting rid of them.
Poison the food. Well, they were poisoning the wells, weren't they?
Overtly, yeah.
That's what they were accused of, poisoning the wells. Number 10. And those among them who are physicians, even if summoned and inquired after, cannot attend or take part in the care of Christians. Now, this is a particularly sick one.
Must be a good reason for that one.
Yeah, well, this is a particularly sick one, isn't it? People would call for them for help, and the Jews would poison them and kill them.
Yeah, and we see the trade in body parts today as well links up.
And when you think, what is the main thing that Jewish doctors have linked with them? Abortion.
Abortion is one of them. Yeah, abortion, isn't it? Haven't the Jews got a certain defect in the DNA? I called it once. I can't remember exactly what it is now, but they do suffer from a certain disease in DNA.
I think it's Tay-Sachs disease. I think it's Tay-Sachs disease.
Something like that. Yeah, where they need these other parts to replace.
I think they are quite susceptible to quite a few diseases and conditions that are specific just to Jews that nobody else gets. And there's diseases that just blacks get as well, and they also tend to get a lot more of prostate cancer. Negroes do. One of the differences between the races are we all have different diseases. You know, I think what's going on here is they were poisoning people. And also performing abortions.
Yeah, well, that's rocked me as Ireland. I mean, Ireland, a Catholic country, when I see a group of people jumping up and down cheering because they were never allowed to legally kill babies, it disheartens me somewhat.
It's absolutely shocking, that, isn't it? That they would be celebrating that. And to think it's a human right for a woman to kill their baby.
I think that should be near that date. To the birth anyway. It isn't like it's they stick to this rule of just a few weeks.
Northern Ireland are still standing against it. It's horrible to see the way that these leftist women are attacking Northern Ireland and saying that Northern Ireland should be forced to allow its people to kill babies if they want to.
It's a sick kind of thought, that, isn't it?
Yeah, always the women that you see that are calling for this, they always look really evil.
They've got T-shirts on, like, I've had an abortion, like the proud.
Yeah. And what was it they said? They said when they first changed the abortion law, they said they would be lucky if there'd be 100 a year, and it would just be women that have been raped or...
Playing it down like they always do.
Yeah, or it would be to save the woman's life. And straight away, it was, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, into the millions now of women doing this.
Is it 50 million now in America?
I don't know the figures. It's just so sad because, you know, these
proper Holocaust.
These mothers that actually do that to themselves, you know, they regret that for the rest of their life. You know, they've destroyed.
It does affect them psychologically, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I just wish their mothers had aborted these left-wing women.
Yeah, the ones that are advocating for it. That's the thing. They're told, it's nothing. It's just a little clump of cells or whatever
it is. It's my body.
Yeah. And what they're actually doing is they are destroying the very reason for their existence. Being here. And that's the reason for women's existence is so that they can be the bearer of the young.
Just slightly rephrase that. This is God's reason for women, and they'll do anything against God they can.
Yeah, well, that's their reason for being here. You know, it's so they can produce children. There's nothing else that they can men can't do. It's the one thing women can do that nobody else can do is to have children.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, they're pushing at the moment. They're saying that boys and girls should be going on sports day together. Because otherwise it's unequal. And it seems to have completely escaped their mind that women have got a third less body strength than men. And I always think this when you see women's sports, they're saying, why aren't women footballers paid as much as men? Because they're not as good as the men. Doesn't matter if you've got the best women's football team in the world, they're not going to be even as good as the worst men's football team in the world. What's the point in them doing it? Why don't they do something that women are very good at, that only women can do.
Exactly.
Only women can be mothers. Leave the footballing and the physical side of things to the men.
Yeah.
What's the point? It's like they're mocking men by doing it.
Well, they're pushing that women's football now to another level. I mean, they're showing finals and live. I mean, stadiums aren't anywhere near full. They're more empty than full. But the BBC especially are really pushing that side of it.
Oh, yeah, the BBC will, you know, it will rarely interview a male footballer. If they're talking about football, well, it's got to be a woman.
The white one, yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be a woman that they have to represent whatever sport it is when you're watching the BBC. And you know, how can a woman ever excel at something like that? Of course, they can excel, they can be good at it, but there's no way they're ever going to be the best out of that country or the best out of their people at it. So what is the point in doing it? Why don't they do something that they can be the best at and the only people that can do that? Women are the only people that can be mothers. And if they abort their babies, they're saying, well, you know, it just negates their whole reason for being. And even if they go again, you know, consciously, they'll probably think, oh, I'm a nasty chauvinist for saying this. And consciously, they probably don't think that. But unconsciously, they know that. And unconsciously and subconsciously, they know that they've attacked and destroyed the very thing that they were created for. And that's going to cause depression, mental problems, all sorts of problems are going to be caused by, you know, spiritually knowing that and going against it physically, mentally going against it. And it's going to make women very, very depressed. And that's why they look so mean, I think, these ones.
Tattoos, I'm convinced it's a Jewish thing. When, you know, at one time in life, women would never dream of putting a tattoo on them. But then you see this fashion at one point where all women were putting even a little tiny rose. And from what I can gather, what Jews believe, you can't go to heaven when you've got a tattoo. So whether that had something to do with it, I don't know.
Yeah, there's something in the Old Testament that says you shouldn't have tattoos.
Yeah.
Does
but
say
suddenly
that.
There was an outbreak, weren't there?
Well, they like to push it. I think a lot of women will regret getting their tattoos once they're a bit older.
I think they already do, some of them, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look that good on a man,
no,
let alone on
exactly.
a woman. You know, the sexy tattoo on a 70-year-old female, you know, it's not going to look too good on that saggy, wrinkly skin, is it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, the next one here, number 11, and they are not to be addressed as superiors, even by poor Christians. I mean, that shows you how good the Christians are, doesn't it? You know, Christians, if they were poor, they were looking up, they were being polite to the Jews and talking to the Jews as if they were superiors.
Mm.
Nobody's to do that.
Fascinating laws, these, aren't they? Because we know they're done for a reason.
Yeah.
And important, you know, they're important enough to be done.
That's the fascinating bit, isn't it? Is working out.
Yeah, when you look around today, you can see why.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 12, they are to close their loan accounts entirely every 30 days. Should fewer than 30 days elapse, they shall not be counted as an entire month, but only as the actual number of days. And furthermore, they will terminate the reckoning as of this number of days and not for the term of an entire month. So what that's saying is that the Jews were charging people for a whole month, even though people had paid it back after a couple of days. So they were cheating.
Yeah.
In addition, they are prohibited from selling goods put up as collateral, put up as temporary security for their money, unless such goods were put up a full 18 months prior to the day on which such collateral would be forfeit. At the expiration of the aforementioned number of months, if Jews have sold a security deposit of this sort, they must sign over all money in excess of the principal of the loan to the owner of the collateral. That's really good, that is. They're saying if they sell what's been given to them as collateral, they must keep records of how much it's been sold for. And if they sell it for more than the money that was owed, not the money with interest, but if they sell it for more than the principal that was owed, they've got to give the extra money to the person who put the collateral up.
These are protective laws, aren't they? You can see it.
That's really good. 18 months as well. You'd have to be 18 months after, you know, the debt was due. Then they could sell the collateral. And this would prevent them from taking, you know, more than they should have. I mean, if somebody's desperate,
oh, yeah.
they desperately want money, you know, here's my wedding ring or whatever, you know, it would prevent the Jews from doing it.
He doesn't need ripping off anymore, does he?
No, they wouldn't be ripping people off, because if they did, they'd have to just pay back that extra money. So it wouldn't be worth them doing it. So they would say, oh no, you don't need to give me your wedding ring. You know, you can give me something that's worth a lot less. So really good laws there. And again, it shows you that these accounts they were using, not only were they using a different language on them so they could cheat people, but they were also cheating the length of time, saying it was 30 days or charging.